We're going to sing that chorus, "We're Coming Out of Babylon." And I don't know if we have words to that up there. We can sing it. It isn't that hard to learn. We'll just go for it. We're coming out of Babylon. We're coming out of Babylon with a joy in our hearts and a song down in our souls. For we've taken our harps down from the willow trees. For the Lord our God has set us free. And we shout, praise God for victory. And we magnify the Lord. We're coming out of Babylon. We're coming out of Babylon with a joy in our hearts and a song down in our souls. For we've taken our harps down from the willow trees. For the Lord our God has set us free. And we shout, praise God for victory. And we magnify the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand praise today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. We are opening our Bibles this morning to the book of the Psalms, Psalm 9 to begin with. We're going to call this message this morning, A Visitation from God. A Visitation from God. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy holy word. We thank Thee, O Lord, that we can now read and learn and hear and believe. And I pray, O God, that Thou wouldst draw us nigh unto Thyself. Lord, that Thou wouldst come down and fill our hearts with Thy Spirit. Move upon us with the power of the Holy Ghost. Let everyone in this auditorium, all those that are listening around the world on the internet live right now, and all of those that will hear this message subsequently by recording, I pray that Thou wouldst touch each and every one of them, O Lord, and draw them, O Lord, into Thy presence and into Thy power. Lord, that souls would be saved, that we would be strengthened and healed and blessed, and that we might glorify Thee and honor Thee and exalt Thee, O Lord, our great and mighty King, our soon coming King. Lord Jesus, we worship Thee now. We lift Thee up. We lift up Thy mighty name. Let Thy perfect and holy will be done. Let Thy wonderful Spirit breathe upon us. Fill this sanctuary, O God, with Thy power. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Let Satan be driven out. Let him have no power to hinder us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I hope nobody here is a spectator today. I want us all to get involved. We all want to get involved in worshiping the Lord. And the reason for that is because He is worthy of all worship. And besides that, we're all in trouble. To one degree or another, whether you realize it or not. And I don't know, some of you may have come in with problems that you need a solution for, looking for an answer from God, direction from the Lord. Really, we all should be seeking Him that way. But just looking at how the world is right now, the greatest optimist in the world would have to admit there's trouble out there, and a lot of it. Our nation is literally crumbling, falling apart, breaking apart at the seams, while that of the economy of Red China is increasing 88%. And just booming over there because our wealth has flowed from here to there. It's undeniable. It's a fact. We have every kind of a threat imaginable in this world today. All the signs of the times that Jesus foretold are coming to pass and coming to pass right on schedule. And we don't know the hour of His coming, but we know He is coming and that we're getting closer to it all the time. So all of us need to seek the Lord because the forces of darkness are gathering. The powers of Antichrist are rising up. And I could stand here and tell you of example after example of the threats that are coming at us. And the strange thing is most people are apathetic and oblivious regarding this whole thing. But when it becomes obvious, when the threat becomes real enough, then what will we do? Will we cry out then? If then, why not now? You know, back in 2001, on September 11th, there was an attack in New York City and in Washington, D.C., and the Twin Towers came down. Now, I knew it would happen. I didn't know when, because God had given me a vision as I was sailing across New York Harbor on a Staten Island ferry, having left St. George's and on my way to Whitehall in Manhattan. And God had given me a vision. He opened my eyes. I was on that ferry boat going across the harbor right near the Statue of Liberty, and I saw in the vision the flames of fire leaping from the towers. I heard the screams of the people. This was July 6th of 2001. And the Lord spoke to me and told me to not tell it till I got back home. And I remember going up on the South Tower and walking around there and looking at the city and praying for the people. I could see Central Park off in the distance. I looked down and saw the MetLife blimp, you know, that dirigible they have up there that goes around New York City. I was higher, I was a quarter mile in the air on the roof of the South Tower. And knowing that this was going to happen, I couldn't say anything because the Lord had instructed me not to. And then when I got home and published it in my newsletter and mailed those letters, postmarked the 26th day of July, describing in detail the towers coming down, how could I possibly have known except that God would have shown it? And God still does do that. He said that He would pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. I believe God communicates with us. This isn't a concept. It isn't a religion you join. It isn't something you subscribe to. We're talking about you interacting with the Most High, God speaking to your heart, God opening your understanding, opening your vision, revealing things to you. Where there is no vision, the people perish. We must interact with God, not just be spectators. Well, anyway, 7 weeks after I saw the vision, and just 5 weeks or so, 4.5 weeks or so after I mailed the newsletters, thousands of them all postmarked on that date, sure enough, on September 11th, it happened. And when I saw it on the screen, on the television, and saw the towers coming down, it was like seeing it for the second time as it was happening. And the reason I brought that up is because the next Sunday, this place was jammed full of people. I don't know if you remember it or not, but there was standing room only. Our country was attacked. There was an intrigue going on, a conspiracy going on. A conspiracy shouldn't scare us. That word should not scare us, because that's the way of the devil. And that's the way of sinful man. Evil men conspire, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Whether they're running oil companies or insurance companies or whatever, they conspire. How can I make more money? How can I extract more? And of course, you look at what's going on in our capital, there's a lot of conspiracy there. There always has been. That shouldn't shock us. Satan is running to and fro on the earth and going up and down in it, and you're going to have conspiracies. You're going to have trouble like that. But you know, to have standing room only in here after that disaster took place, orchestrated by our own government, and I think there's ample evidence to prove that, more than ample evidence, and if you want some, I'll give it to you. And then blaming another country so we could start a war, and then another country, so we could start a war. We got two wars going on. We don't belong in either one.
Amen.
The attack came from within. It was set up. Airplanes didn't bring those towers down. The way they were constructed, you could run an airplane. Airplanes have hit other buildings. They didn't come down like that. If you've ever watched the film, you can see the explosions taking place on every floor. That was all set up. Well, I won't have time to go into all of that because I've got something else I want to do this morning. But I'm just saying that we need God's help because there is trouble surrounding us everywhere. Let's look at what David said in the Psalms. In Psalm 9, he gives us the answer. And whatever you came in with today, whatever problem you've got, whether it's a health problem, a family problem, a money problem, any kind of problem you've got, you can find the answer in Jesus Christ. And here he says in Psalm 9, King David, the psalmist, says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. Now, before I read on, let me tell you this. When you praise the Lord, you're complimenting Him. When you extol Him, you're highly complimenting Him. When you worship Him, you're giving Him your heart. And when you do that, when we gather like this and we sing and praise the Lord, and we do it to the extent that it gets down on the inside, and you begin to feel the Spirit moving, what's happening is when you praise Him, when you lift your hands, when you fall to your knees, when you cry out to God, you are inviting Him to come down. When we sing praises and we clap our hands, the Bible says to do that. Clap your hands, all ye people. Why is it that so many churches are dead? Dead, dead, dead! No activity, nothing going on. The same ritual, the same old thing, droning on and on and on. Folks, that's not right. That's not what Calvary's all about. God will touch you. God will breathe upon you. His fire will come down and He will raise you up and there will be a change in your life. That's what it takes. And you might think, well, I'm fairly comfortable right now. I don't really need any big change in my life. You need it more than you realize. Because the time is coming when you're going to become very uncomfortable. And if you can't hear this message now, look me up later when you're desperate and I'll help you. But it's coming. It's coming. The armies of Antichrist, all these forces are gathering. And we need God's help. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When you do that, you're inviting him to come down. You're inviting a response from God, and he'll never turn down that invitation. People don't praise him enough. They don't yield their whole hearts enough to God and really reach out, because if they did, there would be powerful reactions. We're not here to put our time in. Nobody punched a clock when you came in here. We're here to see something marvelous happen from on high. Every one of us are headed for eternity. And we need to realize that. And we are surrounded by every kind of threat imaginable. He says, when mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. What drives the enemy out? The presence of God. How do we get in the presence of God? By worshiping Him. I'll give you an example of that shortly. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. When you are right, God stands with you. Thou sattest in the throne, judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. O thou enemy, destructions are come, to a perpetual end, in other words, a final end, and thou hast destroyed cities, their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. Amen. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. A lot of people don't like to think of God as a God of judgment. They want to make a God after their own image. They want God to be like they think he should be. You see? And when God sends an earthquake on Haiti and knocks that country into oblivion, people don't want to think that that's judgment from God. They can't fathom that. That God would do anything like that. Hey, you ain't seen nothing yet. That's why we need to be right with him. Amen. And he did preserve some of the people there, those that called upon him. There were miracles of rescue there. But when you've got a people who are given to voodoo and Santeria and witchcraft and doing sacrifices in the streets with animals and people, God's going to judge that. Amen. And when you look at our nation and you see queers running around in parades, Sodom and Gomorrah, is God going to ignore that and apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah? Or will he be a God of judgment? It's coming, folks, and when it hits, this country is going to get the worst of it. Because we should know better. Come on. Got churches in every corner, but they're dead bail boxes. Most of them full of devils. No wonder they got homosexual ministers and all kinds of nonsense going on in these places. Transcendental meditation and Eastern religion and all of that kind of stuff. Folks, it's terrible out there. Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings and all this stuff, mixing all that together. It's a sick, perverted society. And all you have to do is look at the television for an hour or so, and you can tell it even from the commercials. So God's going to judge this. And he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. Folks, I want to tell you something. This is for you, personally. Every one of us are going to know God, either in salvation or in judgment. We're going to be with him at the judgment, and we will be judged and to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus, sanctified by his name. What's it going to be worth to you in that day? If it isn't worth much to you now, in that day, it's going to be the only thing that matters. Because there is a hell. There are eternal fires. And you go there, you're never going to get out. And I'm going to tell you this right now. Hell right now is full of people that would give anything to have the spot where you're sitting. If they could trade places with you, they'd take it. And the opportunity that you have to completely yield to God, and he will hear you without a doubt. The Lord also will be a refuge. There it is, folks. For the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name, do you know his name today? Will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Amen. Did everybody hear that? Amen. Do you realize that you can seek God and he will hear you? And that is a 100% certainty. God will always hear you. You mean it's within my capability to really seek him? Yes, why don't more people do it? They're distracted. They have animosities, uncertainties, fears, doubts. That's all the work of the devil. That religious being that controls religions, right? Anyway, sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. What are you doing? You're inviting him in when you praise him. Hey, that makes me want to praise him. Hallelujah. When he maketh inquisition for blood. Has the blood of Jesus been applied to your heart? Have you gone down in the water in Jesus' name? Or has somebody baptized you somewhere at some time and didn't say the name? Come on. The power is in the name. Anybody ought to know that. That should be so elementary. In Acts 4:12, the Apostle Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The name Jesus comes from the Hebrew Yahshua. And in Isaiah chapter 12, it tells us that Almighty God became our Savior. Therefore, we need his name. Now, when he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. We have a God that doesn't forget your cry. Your prayers are cumulative. They build up. God does hear you. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble, which I suffer of them that hate me. You got anybody that hates you? Anybody come to mind? I've got people that love me greatly, and I got people that like to see me dead. I got a lot of people hate me because they hate what I'm teaching and what I'm preaching and what I'm exposing. And we need to do that. Amen. One of the functions of the Holy Ghost is to expose the works of darkness. Amen. Read it in John chapter 16. It's right there. Now, he says, have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble, which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death. You ever been lifted up from the gates of death? You ever been down and you didn't know what was going to happen? Did you ever have anybody try to kill you? Well, I've had that happen a number of times. You haven't lived until you had a bullet whistle past your ear and make a hole in the wall behind you. You might say, what did you do? I kept preaching. That's right. But I almost got you, but they missed. That's right. Because I must have had some sermons left to preach. Amen. Besides, that was a good incident. And we were preaching up there, up north, near Pepin is where it happened. I was preaching in a little storefront church there. And when they shot in there, and a bullet went past me, I didn't even know what it was at first. Did you ever hear a bullet go right past your ear? It's an amazing sound. Hole in the wall. Well, anyway, the pastor went and got the law officer, and he came, and he was so mad that anybody would try and do something like that. He invited me over to his house. So Shirley and I went over to their house and had dinner with them, with a cop. I ended up baptizing his daughter in Jesus' name. That's worth a bullet, as long as it hits the wall. Amen. God knows what he's doing. Anyway, in verse 14 it says that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathen, there are a few of those around, aren't there? The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made, in the net which they hid is their own foot taken. They're taken in their own trap. Amen. You know, I've been praying lately a lot about these things going on, this healthcare thing, all this intrigue going on there, and all these Democrats working together on this thing. I've been praying the Lord to discomfort them, and guess what's happening? They can't get along with each other. See, that's the problem in the devil's realm. They're always vying for position. There's no honor among thieves. And they're ending up, they're going to destroy each other. Just watch it happen. The Lord is known by his, or by the judgment which he executeth. Do you see that? God is known how? By the judgment. By what he does. When you see earthquakes, pestilence, these various fearful sights going on, give God the glory. He's in charge. He's known by the judgment which he executed. That's God's signature. That's God's hand being manifested to wake people up. It's a call to repentance. Because the big one's coming. The Bible says the day will come when every city in this world will fall at the same time. I remember standing in New York City, getting off that ferry and walking down the ramp there at Whitehall and looking up at the financial district and those skyscrapers, 400 skyscrapers. Huge vertical city. I remember telling my dear late friend Bill Rock, God rest his soul, I remember telling Bill, just look at this, Bill, it's all coming down flat. 400 skyscrapers on a 13-mile island, and all the other cities all through the world, it's coming down, folks. Sin, the weight of sin and iniquity is heavy, and the wickedness of man has reached unto the throne of God, and God will pour out his wrath, but he's still saving souls. And the situation is critical. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands, Haggaiyan. Now you might say, what does Haggaiyan mean? It means meditate on it. Haggaiyan means think about it. Isn't that great how God put that in his word? What we just looked at, think about it. Think about it. Let that gray matter work. Let that mind operate. I know it's a lost art to have to think. But think about it. The wicked shall be turned into hell. So says the word of God. Amen. And all the nations that forget God. Has this nation forgotten God? Yes. You better believe they have. And their works declare it. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. You ever feel like praying that one? Lord, don't let them prevail. God's people need to cry out and it'll happen. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Listen, I've seen this happen so many times. It can't be coincidental. I don't believe in coincidence. I believe in God incident. Amen. I remember driving down to Madison one time. I was picking up some tapes. Back then I went to Full Compass Sound. They don't provide them anymore, but I went down to pick up tapes so we could duplicate them and send them out. And I went down West Washington. And I looked over and there was the Washington Hotel. And it had a nightclub in it called Club de Wash. And Michael Feldman was the Jewish comedian there that was constantly insulting God, mocking God all the time. And it was the habitat of homosexuals. There were 7 different businesses in the hotel, all owned by homosexuals. And all kinds of homosexual relationships were going on in there. And I knew about that because I heard it on the radio and stuff. And I looked over there and the Spirit of God came down upon me. I had no control over this. And I looked at that hotel and I rebuked it in Jesus' name. I said, let the fire of God's judgment, Lord, let thy fiery judgment come down as it did on Sodom, so let it come down in this hotel. And the words just came right out of my mouth. and I drove on. About 10 days later, I was on my way to Oshkosh to my office at the University of Wisconsin where I worked. Turned on the radio, and they said that the Hotel Washington had burned to the ground by a fire of unknown origin. No deaths, no injuries, but completely burned to the ground. There's just a hole there. And then businessmen from all over Madison contributed money to rebuild the Hotel Washington. And so I had to pray again. And before I knew it, that fell apart. That was all discomfited. And now they filled it all in, and it's just grass. It's just a parking lot, and some grass is all that's there. And the queers were lamenting, "Oh, our beloved hotel. That thing was a dive. It was a hole. It was a vermin-infested little Sodom. Come on, we don't need that. Do we need that? This country doesn't need things like that." A woman wrote to me one time. She said, "It works, it works." I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "I stood outside an abortion clinic in Minnesota, and instead of walking around with banners and protesting, I just stood there and I prayed, and I prayed, 'Lord, destroy this place.' And a week later, it burned to the ground. Nobody knew how or why." She said, "It works, it works." That's right, it works on pornography shops. It works on abortion clinics. It works on homosexual dives, and it works. When the people of God pray, God hears. And so he says in verse 20, "Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men." Selah. All they are, people, they die too. Last year, the titular head of the Illuminati died at age 93. Edmund de Rothschild. He assumed room temperature. Now he knows better. And another one was Robert Strange McNamara. Now, Strange was his middle name. His middle name was Strange. Robert Strange McNamara. And they used to call him Dr. Strange Bob. He engineered the whole Vietnam War, causing all that grief and all that trouble. Folks, these wars are to their advantage. They don't fight wars to win. It's global repositioning, reshaping the international order. There are people in high places that have a scheme. Why should that be so hard to believe? More and more freedoms are being taken away. And if they put this health care thing through, you would have to declare on your income tax form that you have that insurance. And if you don't have the government insurance, the insurance you do have would be taxed. So it costs even more. Oh, there's all kinds of chicanery going on, no doubt. But you and I can call upon the Lord. Now, let's go back for a minute and look at an actual example in the Scripture. Go back to Exodus chapter 17. We find that Israel was attacked by Amalek, the Amalekites. And if we go to Exodus 17, verse 8, just for a few verses here, it tells us this. "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, 'Choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek tomorrow. I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand.' So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed." What can the uplifted hand do? It invites God to come down. Should it seem strange that people would gather in a church and lift up their hands? They're saying, Lord, come down. Lord, come down. Manifest thy power. We need help. Yeah. It came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands. The one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. The uplifted hands. And when he needed help, Aaron and Hur held him up for him. Our hands need to go up. When our hands go up, the enemy's in trouble. Because we're inviting the power of God to come down. We need to be a people who raises their hands. Now, turn with me very quickly to 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. And I'm going to read you a portion of Scripture, and it's one of the most beautiful stories you will ever hear in your life. Regarding King Jehoshaphat of Judah. In 2 Chronicles 20, it says in verse 1, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. War was starting. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is En-Gedi. You might say, well, this is history. What has this got to do with us? Oh, I hope you can relate to this. Because there's a big army just waiting to overrun this country right now. And there, I can identify them not only as the Red Chinese, but others. And if you think they don't have a foothold, we're dependent on that country right now. We can't survive right now without Red China. Face it, it's true. All the statistics prove it. And why is it that the betrayers in Washington would allow the Red Chinese to raise the communist flag over Washington as they did? Why did they put the lights on the Empire State Building to honor, and they said it was in honor of the communist revolution under Mao Zedong, lighting the Empire State Building with red and yellow, the communist colors. In our country? When will people wake up? Folks, it's happening. They're taking over. You need God. The enemy is coming. This isn't a scare tactic. This is an absolute statement, provable, if you open your eyes and look at it. We are in trouble. We need God. Right. On a large scale and even in our own personal lives. Anybody here have any kind of trouble going on in their life right now? Anybody? Listen to what happens. And Jehoshaphat feared. Do you ever have something come upon you and you become afraid? And set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. He was afraid. This was a massive army that was coming, and he feared. But what did he do about it? He set himself to seek the Lord. That means he set his face to seek God. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. They saw the army coming. They headed for the temple. I don't know what gets into some people. They say, I don't know. I don't feel right today. I think I'll stay home from church. That's where they need to be. That's where they're going to get help. People say, I just don't feel right about things. And this. Then come to church. Quit fooling around. Come on, there's no excuse. Excuses are only for the people that make them. There is no excuse. Oh, but it's too taxing on me and it'll bother me. And you need to be bothered. How else are you going to break through? So they all came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. Here's the king of Judah, and he feels absolutely helpless. Did you ever feel absolutely helpless? I can remember times when I was casting devils out of people. And you talk about a helpless feeling. How are you going to fight with a spirit? Being a person, it takes God to do it. And when you feel helpless, then he'll help you. Every time. And so here's Jehoshaphat feeling very helpless, standing before the Lord. He's the king, but he feels helpless. You don't find Barack Obama doing this, do you? The one. They call him the one. How blasphemous can you get? He is not the one. I know the one. Amen. There's one God. Amen. And it's not Barack Hussein Obama. He is not the one. And said, O Lord, now this is the prayer of Jehoshaphat. O Lord, God of our fathers. Can you just picture the king standing there, all the people standing there, from all over Judah, from all the cities. They filled the temple. It was all over the place. And he was standing there now, and he was praying this prayer. Hear what he says. And said, O Lord, God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? I hear faith talking there, don't you? Amen. And art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever. What a beautiful prayer. And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if, when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. You might say, where's that temple today? I'll tell you who the temple is. It's Jesus Christ. And through his name and by approaching him, you get the same help. Now, he goes on and he prays, and now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, the ancestors of the Arabs, the forerunners of the Muslims, right? Whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. And that is the devil's work, to try to cast you out of God's possession. But as long as you call upon the Lord, he can't do it. Listen. He goes on and he says, O our God. This is the king praying here in front of all the people, standing in total helplessness against this massive invading force that was coming to destroy them. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company. How often I've heard people say, what can I do? Sure, we know there's conspiracies going on and all these evil things are taking place and our country's falling apart and the invaders have come in. You know, there are 12 million undocumented aliens in our country right now. And Barack Obama is about to grant them immediate citizenship. Just with a stroke of a pen. Illegal, yes, but then what is the law to such a charlatan and lawless one who came out of the Chicago underworld? From that same neighborhood where there was once headquartered an organization known as the 1313 of Chicago. By the way, what is this with Obama with all the 13s all the time? Everything is 13, 13, 13, 13. Now he's giving, I think it's $810 million to Wisconsin for a light rail system between Milwaukee and Madison, but he has arranged for 13 such projects nationwide to create 13,000 new jobs. He selected 13 top Democrats to hammer out the final health care bill. He's got 13 teams for the census going around the country. Everything is 13 with this guy. Why did he pick that date? Usually the inaugural, or pardon me, the State of the Union address is on the 20th of January. Why did he wait till the 27th? Add up the digits of 1-27-2010, 13. Everything is 13 with this guy, which is the witch's number, the number of the occult, and so forth. I'm telling you, Washington runs on occult power. Not just because of that, but many, many other reasons. And sometime I'll maybe tell you some of those. But anyway, here is Jehoshaphat still praying, saying, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. Have you ever been in that situation? Have you ever said, I don't know what to do? Anybody ever said that? I just don't know what to do. I've reached an impasse. Nothing works. Everything's against me. I don't know what to do. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. There you go. There's your answer. And all Judah stood. Picture this. Oh, they all stood up as he prayed. All Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. It was quiet. The threat was real. The army was moving in on them. They were all about to be killed. But they all stood up with their little ones, with their children. And God looked down from heaven, and suddenly something happened. There was a visitation from God. In that massive congregation, in came the Spirit of Almighty God. And empowered one man, the Spirit of God came down and hit that man, and he began to prophesy. Can you picture this massive congregation of Judah? The king standing there, he had finished his prayer, and now God took over. And upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph. They were the singers, folks. Came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. I said, God came down. We don't know what to do, you see, but God came down. And he said, and you could have heard a pin drop in there. God was speaking now through a man, through the prophet, and he was answering the king's prayer. And he said, hearken ye all, Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. When are we going to realize we can turn the battle over to the Lord? Let God take your part. Let him defend you. He goes on and says, this is God still speaking through the prophet, tomorrow, go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook. God knew right where they were, didn't he? Before the wilderness of Jeruel. And then the Lord said this, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. You mean God's going to do it all? He's going to take care of the whole thing? Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves. In other words, position yourselves. Stand ye still. See the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them. For the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord. Everyone in that sanctuary, everybody in church, fell down, all of them, 100%. Fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Just moments ago, they said, we don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. But they sought God. And God heard them. And the Spirit of God came in and gave them a message. And they fell down before God. Do you see a pattern here? That's what we ought to do. When's the last time you fell down before God? Maybe you never did. It's time, folks. It's time. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korhites, these were the singers, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. First they fell down in worship, and then they got up and sang. Well, was anybody going to go out and sharpen their swords and get ready for a great battle? No, God said, you're not going to fight this. I'm going to fight it. So what did he do? And they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God. Do you realize what they were facing? This was a multitude, a vicious army ready to kill every one of them. But he said, believe in the Lord your God. So shall ye be established. Believe his prophets. So shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, what did he do? What kind of soldiers were these? He appointed singers. You mean they're going to win with song? They're going to sing songs against the enemy? When he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord so that and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And they kept singing and praising and worshiping in front of that massive attacking army. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. They were smitten by song. They were smitten by worship. The Holy Ghost, the power of God. I'll tell you, it all changed once the power of God came into that sanctuary and that prophecy came forth. Then came forth the worship and the praise and the answer that God gave. And now they're standing in front of the enemy singing. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. They all fought each other till they all were dead. God came in and confused them. And there's nothing like true praise and worship and falling on your knees and crying out to God to confuse the devil and all of his enemies. All of God's enemies, all the demons, all the evil spirits. They can't stand to hear you sing and praise God. Because they know that the power of heaven flows through the praise of God's people. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. God took care of it. And when Jehoshaphat and the people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And there were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. That was quite a victory. How did they do it? With songs. Falling down and worshiping God. Believing the Lord, believing his prophets. And on the 4th day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Baraka. Comes from the Hebrew word Baruch, which means blessed. This was the valley of blessing. That valley, which was going to be a valley of slaughter, became a valley of blessing. Amen. 3 days and 3 nights they carried the spoil away. You know, Jesus spent 3 days and 3 nights in the tomb. And then he spoiled the enemy and led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the same place was called the Valley of Baraka unto this day, Valley of Blessing. And they returned every man to Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them to go down to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. You see, it all changed all at once the Spirit of God came into the sanctuary. Once the people, 100% of them, fell to their knees and cried out, as we should do, as we must learn to do. And when a threat becomes great enough, you will. If you can't do it today, you'll do it. And we should do it today. God will help us. You know, I what comes to mind also is the story of Paul and Silas in jail, remember, in the Philippian jail cell? How they had cast the devil out of a woman who had a spirit of divination, fortune teller, this new age consultant. And once they cast the devils out of her, she couldn't tell fortunes anymore. She lost her ESP. And so they beat Paul and Silas with whips until their backs were bloody, threw them into a cell. You can read about it in Acts chapter 16. But the Bible says at midnight, now they didn't sit around feeling sorry for themselves. At midnight, they sang praises unto God. Their backs were ripped open. They were in pain. But they praised God. And God heard it. And he shook that prison and every door opened up and every chain fell off. And the jailer was scared. He didn't know what was going on. And he was going to kill himself. And Paul said, no, do thyself no harm. We're all here. What a miracle. All the doors were open. The chains were off. Nobody left. Presence of God was there. Nobody wanted to go. We're all here. He said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul looked at that jailer and said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And he took them home. The jailer took them home, washed their stripes, patched them up, and he baptized the entire household of that jailer that night. And a church was born that night in a jail cell as the men with their bloody backs praised the Lord at midnight and worshiped and cried out to God. And because of that, the church was born at Philippi. And when you read the book of Philippians in the Bible, that's how it got there. A visitation from God. Would you like a visitation from God? The Lord works in many marvelous ways. Let me conclude by telling you this, that back in the late 1800s in Toronto, Canada, there was a doctor, medical doctor, had a knock on his door late, very late at night. And he went and opened the door and there was a little 10-year-old girl standing there and she said, you've just got to come and help my mother. She's very, very sick. And the doctor said, I can't go out and make a house call at night. I just can't do that. And he looked at the little girl's face and she looked at him and she left. She gave him a note. Here's the address. Please go and see my mother. She needs help very desperately. And she left, and he went in, and he couldn't forget it, so he just couldn't get her face out of his mind. And so he went over to the address. She had told him, the little girl said, the door will be open. And he went in, and he found a woman delirious with fever, laying in bed on a cold winter night. And that doctor began to treat her with the medicine that he had at that time. This was the late 1800s, and he sat up with this woman all night long, trying to treat her and help her to get this fever to break, and in the morning the fever broke, and she was fine and feeling better, and the doctor looked at her and said, you know, there's only one reason why you're still alive. Your little 10-year-old daughter came very persistent and got me last night to come over here. And the woman looked at the doctor and said, I don't have a 10-year-old daughter. She said, 20 years ago, I had a 10-year-old daughter that died of pneumonia. But the angels come and visit in strange ways, don't they? Visitation from God. And this doctor was stunned. He saw her. He talked to her. And never saw her again. And the woman lived. Folks, these things happen. We are visited by angels. We are visited by God in many, many ways. And he's done this in the scripture. You find him appearing as a man. And in different ways he'll appear. But God is awesome in all his ways. Folks, we need to worship him. Yes. Nothing's more important than that. If you have a problem today, you know what to do. You just have to do it. Seek the Lord. Don't worry about who sees you or who hears you. Just come and fall before him and cry out to him, and heaven will visit you. And he'll make you ready and right for his soon coming. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we do thank thee, Lord. And really and truly, we don't know what to do sometimes. We need thy help. And I pray that thy people, O Lord, would respond by crying out to thee with a whole heart. In desperation, O Lord, because there is no hope but in thee. Hear our prayer this morning. Stretch forth thy hand to help us. Speak to our hearts, O God, and move upon us with thy Spirit. Let souls be saved this morning. Let hearts be surrendered to thee. For great trouble is just ahead. But, O Lord, if we will sing and praise and worship thee, thou wilt truly visit us, and we need a visitation from thee, O Lord. We ask in Jesus' name now that thou wouldst help us. In thy precious name we pray. Hallelujah. Lord, we know not what to do but to call upon thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise him.